Our scripture is a little unusual today, not the scripture itself, but the fact that there are two readings, which is not common, but they share a theme that will be our theme today, and I think you'll catch on rather quickly. The first couple of verses is from 2 Timothy, where Paul writes to Timothy, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." And then from the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, "The word of God is alive, it is active, it is sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, as we now seek to hear your word in these words, that we may be thoroughly equipped, that we may be nurtured to bear fruit. Find us by your Holy Spirit. Cut through anything that would keep us from hearing your voice, that we might be better able to follow Christ. In him we pray. Amen. I would say it doesn't happen too much anymore, but I used to have this dream once in a while. And in the dream, I was preaching, and most of the time, I was standing here in this pulpit. And I looked out, and I noticed that everyone was paying attention. That's not the dream part. But what I noticed on those faces were looks of surprise, confusion, concern, and anger. And in my dream, I thought to myself, wait, did I just say that out loud? It is, I think, and then I would wake up and I wouldn't remember the thing that I thought I said. But I always took that dream to mean that some part of me lives in fear of the day my filter breaks and the possibility that it happens right here in the pulpit. You know the filter I'm talking about, that small part of your brain that tries to keep the things you think from becoming the things you say. And yes, it would be great if you didn't think those things, but you definitely shouldn't say them. My family tells me that on the day that filter breaks, I'm getting locked in a room in a facility somewhere, which is probably fair. It's probably okay. If you've been with us through Lent, you know Michael and I are doing this series on the mind of Christ, filling our mind with things that belong in the Christian life, in Christian thought, and guarding ourselves from things that don't. And this week, somewhere along the way, I started to think about that literally, the mind of Christ. And I don't know how I got there, but I began thinking how fascinating it would be to enter Jesus' mind and look at it as a landscape. What is in there? And to see that mind, I think, would be amazing. A mind uncluttered by ego and fear, selfishness, bad ideas. A mind so focused on being and doing what God wanted, governed solely and dedicated completely to the kingdom of God. Apparently, Jesus had a way of not letting things that shouldn't be there get in there in the first place. And if anything, the filter that Jesus had wasn't built to keep things in. that were bad, but to keep things out that were bad. So today I want to think together about the filter that every Christian needs. And yes, not only to keep stuff from coming out that shouldn't, but maybe more importantly, to keep stuff out that shouldn't go in the first place. You probably know this, but filters of different types all basically share the same job: to let some things through, but not the other things. To let in good things and keep out bad things. That's what we need. A filter that lets the things of God through. A filter through which the ideas of the world, the comments of people around, all the stuff that we have to deal with gets sorted. A filter that holds back the wrong ideas, the wrong thoughts, the things that aren't true, and keeps them from getting in our minds. Well, bear with me this morning, because I want to make the case that that filter already exists. We just call it the Bible. You know the story. Jesus is out in the wilderness being tempted. In each temptation, Satan presents him with a bad idea. Do this, try this, worship this, serve me. And in each instance, Jesus tests the devil's word against Scripture. Every single time he answers him, guided by the Bible. We tend to think that the Bible's main job is to give us information and teach us what to think. And it does that, but equally, maybe more importantly, it teaches people of faith how to be guided in what we say and do and think. How to live by the Word of God we find within these pages. If I'm being completely honest, when it comes to Presbyterians and the Bible, I'm not always impressed. We like to call ourselves people of the book. But I generally find that the average Presbyterian is often average when it comes to Scripture. More than once, I've watched church members, including elders, look for New Testament books in the Old Testament. Rarely a week goes by that in response to some Bible question, our middle school and high school students don't look at me with completely blank faces. And though many Presbyterians are readers, far too few, I think, are Bible readers. And the danger that creates is it makes it harder for the filter to work. It makes it harder to judge an idea or an opinion or a teaching biblically. We just had these two wonderful passages. The Bible is a two-edged sword. It's God-breathed. It's inspired. It's useful for teaching and preaching. Those are great words. But if we don't know it, if we don't understand it, how does it help us? How does it protect us? Now, what I will give us as Presbyterians is this. Presbyterians have at least figured out that knowing the Bible is important, but knowing what it says is not the same thing as knowing what it means. If you know the Bible even reasonably well, you can pull almost anything out of context and make it say what you want. In fact, I mentioned the temptation story. Did you know in that story, the devil uses the good book to present the bad ideas? The Bible quotes, or the devil quotes the Bible. It says this, Jesus, but Jesus knows that's not what it means. The Pharisees who fought Jesus tooth and nail did so by quoting Scripture at him. And not a day goes by that some unchristian nonsense gets justified by somebody quoting a Bible verse. So when you hear someone quoting Scripture to support an idea, but you think to yourself, that doesn't sound very much like Jesus, be very careful. Because not a single embarrassingly bad idea in Christian history wasn't initiated and supported by people using the book. Every single thing we wish Christians hadn't said or done, they did so while quoting Scripture. Just this week in a Bible study conversation, I remembered a seminary moment. So for some of you, you've heard this recently. I went to a small Presbyterian school in Louisville, Kentucky, but just down the road a few blocks was a big Baptist school. And though Presbyterians and Baptists didn't see eye to eye on many things, you could go take some classes there. So once in a while I did that, ended up taking a few classes, found myself in a class with a Baptist professor and a lot of Baptist students, but the Baptist professor was rumored to be kind of liberal. Some of the Baptist students said that he might be okay with the ordination of women. That was the rumor, which was still a big deal to Baptists at the time. Not to Presbyterians so much. Well, one student must have taken that challenge literally, because at some point in the class, a discussion came up and the student said, "The Bible says this," point blank, pointed that at the professor. The professor thought for just a moment and then said, "Young man, you are free to believe anything you would like. What you are not free to do is blame it on the Scripture." Which was a pretty good answer. We don't treat Scripture like a magic book. It's not full of incantations and declarations. This is a living, breathing, complicated, sometimes messy witness to the work of God in the world, and ultimately a signpost to lead us to Jesus Christ. To know it is more than to know what it says. It's to seek what it means, which is harder. It takes work, time, familiarity, humility. You have to learn the stories and the texts and the verses, but then you have to think of them. You have to put them in conversation with one another. And ultimately, the point is far deeper than to know the words. It's to encounter the Word of God. To be people of this book is not simply to assert the Bible is true. It's to be willing to be guided by those truths, to look and listen and seek it out. To meditate on the Bible doesn't mean to think about it. It means to become it, to incorporate it into how we live, to become the character and the work and the person we see in Jesus Christ. Think about these examples just for a moment. We all know, right? The world around us says it is fine to curse your enemies. It's okay. In fact, it's expected. Sometimes it's your duty. What does it mean to us that this book says exactly the opposite? We hear every day, "Take care of your own first." Just another version of the old question, "Who is my neighbor?" In here, we find something different. Care for the outsider, the hurting person, the poor, the lonely, the left out. Your preferred news program gives you 100 reasons a day to hate the people on the other side of the fence. The Bible gives you one not to, because Jesus said so. Whether it's money or power or sex or gossip, whatever else grabs so many headlines and so much of our attention, the Bible is our best chance to filter what we hear and keep the wrong ideas and the sloppy thinking and the bad practices out. But to get there, you don't have to just open it. You have to be open to it. You have to sit with it. You have to listen. You have to be guided by the wisdom of teachers and tradition. And ultimately, you have to pray for the coming of God's own Spirit that uses the words to share the word. Learning to think biblically helps protect us from bad ideas. Even bad ideas that come from the Bible. So they don't get through and take their place in our minds and come out in our words and our actions. So they don't lead us away from the mind of Jesus, but instead to it. Friends, I think the Bible is the Christian's single greatest resource for following Christ. But if we treat it as a rule book or an instruction manual or a doctrine list or an end of the world calendar, we will miss it. We will miss the mind of the one it is all about. Because the scripture wasn't written to be any of those things. It wasn't even written to us. It was gathered and passed on as a sacred collection of words that reveal a living God and ultimately point to His Son, the Christ, the Savior, the Redeemer. Ultimately, our standard as Jesus people is the person, not the pages. And if we seek to know the mind of Christ, to have that mind in us, our best path is to know our book well enough to know not just what it says, but what it means. And most important of all, who it presents to us. Amen.